堂听 class.com。
Unit 42, Part 1. Mr. Brown was at the theater. He had got his ticket at the last moment, so he had not been able to choose his seat. He now found that he was in the middle of a group of American ladies, some of them middle-aged and some quite old. They obviously all knew each other well, as, before the curtain went up on the play they had come to see, they all talked and joked a lot together. The lady sitting on Mr. Brown's left, who was about 60 years old, seemed to be the happiest and the most amusing of the American group, and after the first act of the play, she apologized to him for the noisiness of her friends. He answered that he was very glad to see American ladies so obviously enjoying their visit to England, and so they got into conversation. Mr. Brown's neighbor explained what they were doing there. "You know, I have known these ladies all my life," she said. "We all grew up together back in our hometown in the United States. They have all lost their husbands and call themselves the Merry Widows Club, you know. They go abroad every summer for a month or two and have a lot of fun. They always go everywhere together. I have wanted to join their club for a long time, but I didn't qualify for membership until the spring of this year."
Question 1. Where did this story take place? Question 2. In what ways are those American ladies alike? Question 3. How often do those ladies go abroad? Question 4. What can you conclude from the last sentence?
Part 2. 1. Mr. Brown booked his ticket a few days ago, so he had a very good seat in the theater. 2. The lady sitting on Mr. Brown's left apologized to Mr. Brown because her friends talked too much. 3. Those American ladies knew each other from their childhood.
Unit 43, Part 1. American women are used to being independent. They are used to going places by themselves, earning their own money, and often living alone. Sometimes they will ask men for help, but they usually don't want to be protected. Since the women's movement started, it's not always clear whether women expect men to open doors or help them into their coats. American women may start conversations with men or even ask them to dance. There are a lot of Americans who don't smoke or drink, and many who don't want people to do those things in their houses. It's always best to ask before you bring alcohol to a dinner or before you light up a cigarette, if you're with people you don't know very well. Non-smokers have become more militant about smoking in public places. Many restaurants, for instance, have established special sections for smokers. House guests may bring gifts when they come to visit, and they often offer to help in some way. As a guest, you may want to ask your host or hostess if there's anything you can do to help in the kitchen. In many cases, the gesture is more important than actual helping. You may also want to take your friends out to dinner at the end of your stay, but it's not expected for you to do so.
Question 1. What is this passage about? Question 2. Which of the facts is not true to American women? Question 3. What is best for you to do if you want to smoke before someone you don't know very well? Question 4. What can you do if you are invited to your friend's home?
Part 2. 1. American women never ask men for help because they want to be independent. 2. Most Americans smoke, but they don't want people to smoke in their houses. 3. Many restaurants have special areas for those who smoke. 4. As a guest, you'd better show your host or hostess that you can do something to help in the kitchen. 5. When you visit your friend, he usually expects you to invite him out to dinner at the end of your stay.
Unit 44, Part 1. By Friday, May 31st, Frank still hadn't found a shop assistant, yet Trading Post was due to open the next day, so he was quite worried. He could serve in the shop himself, but he couldn't be there all the time because of his business trips. Aunt Clara could fill in, but she knew very little about the goods they were selling. Consequently, she wouldn't be able to answer customers' questions, and this would make a bad impression. That afternoon, Frank was in the shop adjusting the displays, writing out price tags, checking files and stationery, trying to keep his mind off the problem of the assistant he needed. By now, he'd interviewed a dozen applicants, aged from 18 to 64, but none had been suitable. The older ones were experienced, and the youngsters enthusiastic, but none of them knew anything about West Africa. One even thought Nigeria was in South America.
Question 1. What post needed to be filled in the Shop of Trading Post? Question 2. Why couldn't Frank serve in the shop all the time? Question 3. Why couldn't Aunt Clara work as a shop assistant? Question 4. Why didn't Frank hire any of the applicants he'd interviewed?
Part 2. 1. Frank was quite worried because the shop assistant he needed hadn't been found. 2. The Shop of Trading Post was due to open on May 31st. 3. The shop assistant Frank needed must have some knowledge of West Africa.
Unit 45, Part 1. When driving in the U.S., it's a good idea to have an international driver's license if you don't have a state license. Each of the 50 states has its own traffic laws. For example, in some states, drivers can pump their own gas at self-service islands, while in others, this is not allowed. Drivers are expected to know and understand the laws even if they don't live in the state. Get information when you cross the border into a state at a tourist information center. There is a national speed limit of 55 miles per hour, or about 80 kilometers per hour. Americans usually start and stop slowly and are generally polite about letting cars enter busy streets. They usually stop for people who are walking to let them cross the street. In many states, you may turn right after stopping at a corner, even if there is a red light. On some roads, there may be a minimum speed.
Question 1. What had you better have when driving in the U.S.? Question 2. What should a driver in the U.S. know and understand? Question 3. Which of the following is the national speed limit in the U.S.? Question 4. Whom do drivers in the U.S. usually stop for?
Part 2. 1. In the U.S., drivers must pump their own gas. 2. The traffic laws differ from state to state in the U.S. 3. If a driver doesn't know the traffic laws in a state, he can get information when he crosses the border into the state.
Unit 46, Part 1. Trading Post is nearly 5 years old and has half a dozen shops in the provinces as well as the head office in London, now 3 times as large as it was at the beginning. The business continues to expand. There are over 50 employees, and the annual turnover is more than £1,300,000. All this means that Frank has to work harder than ever. Frank, the chairman and managing director, is responsible for policy and administration, but he is also, as he was from the start, in charge of buying. This means that he has to spend more and more of his time traveling. In fact, he's away from home 10 days in every month, and his wife, Mary, has begun to complain about it. He's getting a bit fed up with it himself, too. He's missing the early years of his children. He spends a lot of his time in hotels, living in and out of suitcases, and he's long since ceased to enjoy traveling, at least on business, for its own sake. You don't really see the places you visit, only some offices in each, and your blood pressure goes up. He doesn't only go from one shop to another in the UK chain, settling their administrative problems. At least twice a year, he has to go to Nigeria on a buying trip.
Question 1. Where is the head office of Trading Post located? Question 2. What can we learn about the business of Trading Post? Question 3. What is Frank responsible for? Question 4. What does Frank have to spend more time doing?
Part 2. Trading Post has 12 shops in the provinces. 2. Trading Post has a turnover of more than £1,300,000 a year. 3. Frank's wife is unhappy about his frequent absences from home on business trips.
Unit 47, Part 1. There are 4 time zones in the U.S. If you have to fly through several time zones in 12 hours or less, you may feel an upset of your body clock after the long flight. This is jet lag. Doctors say the best thing you can do is to rest on the plane and perhaps have a drink of water and rest at your hotel when you arrive. Large airports with lots of international traffic have employees who speak languages besides English to help you, but smaller ones don't. You can bring a total of 1 quart of alcoholic beverages and 1 carton of cigarettes, 200 cigarettes, into the U.S. duty-free. If you bring more, you have to pay tax. If you lose something on the plane or can't find your baggage at the claim area, you should report it to your airline. If you lose something in the airport, you should go to the lost and found.
Question 1. How many time zones are there in the U.S.? Question 2. When does jet lag occur? Question 3. What can one do to overcome jet lag? Question 4. How many cigarettes can you bring into the U.S. duty-free? Question 5. Where should you go for help if you lose something on the plane?
Part 2. 1. Only large airports with lots of international traffic have employees who can speak foreign languages. 2. If you bring 100 cigarettes into the U.S., you have to pay tax. 3. You can't bring any alcohol into the U.S. duty-free. 4. If you lose something at the airport, you should report to your airline.
Unit 48, Part 1. The following passage was taken from It's Not the End of the World by Judy Blume. It is the story of Karen, whose parents are going through a divorce. I have been trying to get sick. I don't wear a sweater when I should, and 2 days ago I walked in the rain without my boots and my feet got soaked. But so far, nothing has happened. Debbie once told me about a girl in her cabin at camp who liked to stay overnight in the infirmary. She used to rub the end of the thermometer until it went up to 102. Then she'd stick it in her mouth, and the nurse would think she was really sick. This morning, I tried doing that, but it never went above 94, and I rubbed it for 10 whole minutes. So I held the tip of the thermometer next to the light bulb in my desk lamp, and it went up to 105. The trouble was, I didn't know the thermometer would be so hot. As soon as I put it into my mouth, I burned my tongue. I spit the thermometer out. It fell on the floor, but it didn't break. I will have to think up a better way to get my mother and father back together. I can't waste my time trying to get sick. That could take forever. I had my piano lesson right before dinner tonight. Mrs. Leonard looked at me kind of funny. I'll bet she wishes she was still teaching Jeff and not just me. It's no secret that he's the one with the talent, but this year he quit piano. I don't think I play so bad. It's just that my fingers don't always do what I want them to. Before Mrs. Leonard left, she told me to practice the same songs for next week. She said I wasn't ready for anything new. I felt like asking her how she would play if her parents were getting divorced.
Question 1. What has Karen been trying to do? Question 2. Why is she pretending to be sick? Question 3. How is she trying to get sick? Question 4. Who is Mrs. Leonard? Question 5. Why does Karen play the piano badly?
Part 2. 1. After Karen rubbed the thermometer, it went to 105. 2. When she put the hot thermometer in her mouth, she burned her mouth. 3. Mrs. Leonard likes teaching Jeff probably because he plays piano better than Karen.
Unit 49, Part 1. Americans eat too much fat, and the problem with fat is that it is fattening. Ounce for ounce, fat contains twice as many calories as protein and carbohydrates do. Being overweight is one of the most common health problems in the United States. Nearly one out of every three Americans is overweight or obese. Obesity increases the risk of many serious diseases, including heart disorders and diabetes. We can cut down our fat intake in a number of ways. For one thing, we can replace fatty meats like beef and pork with leaner meats like veal and chicken. We can eat smaller portions too. We can also use more vegetable sources of protein, such as peas, beans, lentils, nuts, potatoes, and rice. Finally, we can use low-fat dairy products, such as skim milk and pot cheese, in place of whole milk and high-fat cheeses. Even a small change in our fat intake can make an enormous difference in our general health over a period of years.
Question 1. What is one of the most common health problems in the United States? Question 2. Why are some Americans overweight? Question 3. How many Americans are overweight? Question 4. How can Americans cut down their fat intake? Question 5. Which of the following is low in fat?
Part 2. 1. Fat contains twice as many calories as sugar. 2. Chicken is a good replacement for fatty meats. 3. Whole milk products usually have low fat content. 4. Only enormous changes in fat intake can affect our health.
Unit 50, Part 1. Mr. and Mrs. Jones's flat was full of suitcases, trunks, and packed up furniture. The two of them were busy with pencils and paper, checking their lists of luggage, when there was a ring at the door. Mrs. Jones went to open it and saw a well-dressed middle-aged lady outside. The lady said that she lived in the flat beside theirs and that she had come to welcome them to their new home. The Joneses invited her in after apologizing for the state of the flat. "Oh, please don't stand on ceremony with me," she answered. "Do you know, in some parts of this town, neighbors are not at all friendly? There are some streets, and even some blocks of flats, where people don't know their neighbors, not even their next-door ones. But in this block of flats, everybody is friends with everybody else. We are one big, happy family. I am sure that you will be very happy here." The well-dressed lady got a shock when she came to visit the flat the next time, because she found a quite different man and woman in it. Mr. and Mrs. Jones had not had the courage to tell her that they were not the new owners of the flat, who were due to move in the next day, but the old owners, who had lived beside her for 2 years without her ever having visited them or even noticed their existence.
Question 1. What was the state of Mr. and Mrs. Jones's flat? Question 2. Who was the well-dressed, middle-aged lady? Question 3. Why did the well-dressed lady get a shock when she came to visit the flat the next time? Question 4. How long had Mr. and Mrs. Jones lived in the flat?
Part 2. 1. Mr. and Mrs. Jones were moving out of the flat. 2. What the lady said to Mr. and Mrs. Jones was true.
Unit 51. Part 1. The cocktail party is a curious American event. Millions of people follow this ritual every year, yet many complain about how awful or frightening it can be. For some, The cocktail party is a pleasant way of getting together with friends for a social evening of drinks, food, and conversation. For others, it means spending time with strangers, talking about dull subjects, and viewing behavior that is often distasteful. At some point in the evening, one or more of the guests usually drinks too much and reaches a state of intoxication. Some people say or do things that they may regret later. Most guests do not reach this stage. They simply loosen up, laugh, and become instant friends. Toward the end of the party, guests begin to leave, some with pleasant memories and others with the beginnings of the headache that will soon become tomorrow's hangover. Each drifts homeward knowing the next week it will be someone else's turn to host a cocktail party.
Question 1. What do cocktail parties offer? Question 2. Why do many people complain about how awful cocktail parties can be? Question 3. What stage do most guests reach at cocktail parties? Question 4. How many guests may get drunk at cocktail parties? Question 5. How often may cocktail parties be held?
Part 2. 1. All the guests at cocktail parties leave with pleasant memories. 2. Most people have nothing to regret after a cocktail party. 3. Cocktail parties can be dull and distasteful. 4. Everyone loves the American cocktail parties.
Unit 52, Part 1. The English Patient is Anthony Minghella's new film. Anthony Minghella is a British film director. This film deals with themes of loss and love. It is based on the acclaimed novel by Michael Ondaatje. Ralph Fiennes plays the title role of an archaeologist who is badly burned in a plane crash at the end of World War II. As he lies, slowly dying in an abandoned Italian monastery, cared for by a Canadian nurse, he recalls a love affair which led up to the accident. The film uses flashbacks to tell the story of this affair between Fiennes' character and a married English woman, played by Kristen Scott Thomas, in pre-war Egypt. The film has already surprised many with its success in the U.S. In the first week of its release in America last year, The English Patient became one of the top 10 grossing films. Some film critics believe that the success of The English Patient shows that American audiences' tastes are changing. Amy Taubin, film critic of New York's Village Voice, says that the lack of fast action is made up for by the film's love story. "It is one of the hottest love stories I have ever seen," she says. The film also uses location well. The flashback love affair takes place in the spectacular landscape of the Egyptian desert, where the archaeologist and his team are working. The English Patient also looks likely to do well at the Oscars this year.
Question 1. From which country is the director of the film, The English Patient? Question 2. What kind of story is told in this film? Question 3. In which country has the film been shown successfully according to this passage? Question 4. What does the success of the film, The English Patient, suggest according to some critics?
Part 2. 1. The film, The English Patient, is based on a novel by Michael Ondaatje. 2. The film uses flashbacks to tell the love affair between an archaeologist and a married English woman. 3. The location of the story in the film is not very attractive.
Unit 53, Part 1. When basketball was invented in 1891 in America, it was intended to be an indoor game which could be played during the severe American winters, when the ground was too frozen or snowy for baseball. Nowadays, the game is played on specially designed basketball courts all over the world. It is a popular game because it demands speed and skill from its players, and is very exciting to watch. Most American cities have basketball teams. The teams often have names such as the Tigers, which suggests speed and physical power. Basketball is played by two opposing teams, each of five players, on a rectangular court which is 26 meters long by 14 meters wide. Variations of 2 meters on the length and 1 meter on the width are permitted. The object of the game is to score points by shooting the ball into the opponent's goal. Like all competitive sports, basketball is governed by strict rules. Many of these rules relate to the handling of the ball. Each player tries to tap the ball to a member of his or her own team, who may then bounce, pass, or shoot the ball. No player may run holding the ball, but he or she may dribble it by bouncing it on the court with one hand only as he or she runs.
Question 1. When was basketball invented? Question 2. Why do basketball teams in the U.S. often have names such as the Tigers? Question 3. How large is a basketball court? Question 4. What do many rules for playing basketball relate to? Question 5. What is forbidden in playing basketball?
Part 2. 1. When basketball was invented, people intended to play outdoors to keep warm because it was too cold in winter. 2. Basketball is a popular game only because it is very exciting to watch. 3. The aim of basketball game is to score points by shooting the ball into the opponent's goal. 4. There are strict rules in playing basketball.
Unit 54, Part 1. The person who has done more than any other in the past 2 decades to revolutionize the personal computer is still only 39 years old. When he was 31, Bill Gates became America's youngest ever billionaire, and today his wealth is estimated at $9 billion. From his early school days, it was obvious that Gates would be an achiever. He was the school's best mathematician, and he had a photographic memory. His big break came when he was studying at Harvard University. He'd heard that a computer company needed software with which to run its machines. For 6 weeks, he worked day and night with a colleague, together creating BASIC. It was accepted, and so Bill Gates left university and set up his company, Microsoft. He then went on to develop DOS, a system for IBM-compatible machines, and its latest incarnation, Windows. Today, 4/5 of the computers in the world run on either DOS or Windows. Gates' company, Microsoft, from its base in Seattle in the state of Washington, now employs 15,000 people. Even so, Gates, who is chairman, still admits to getting as much excitement from the technology as he does from running the business side of things. He says, "I still love technology. I can sit and play with software all night long and read a science magazine all night long." Gates' computer expertise, combined with his appearance, unfashionable clothes, thick and large rimmed glasses, and an awful haircut, have earned him his reputation as a nerd. But Gates is too busy with other things to worry about this. He has just got married and is building an expensive new home. It will be equipped with the latest Microsoft technology, including screen walls on which one can call up images of works of art.
Question 1. Who is Bill Gates? Question 2. What did he do when he was studying at Harvard University? Question 3. What did he do after his BASIC was accepted? Question 4. What does he love? Question 5. What has earned him his reputation as a nerd?
Part 2. 1. Bill Gates became America's youngest ever billionaire at the age of 31. 2. Microsoft is based in Seattle in the state of Washington. 3. Bill Gates is worrying about his appearance because he is a famous person.